There's a lot of value in classic sets, and if you enjoy doing them and you want to work on them and really improve your artistry, go for it. You should never be ashamed to be offering a killer classic set or even to be actively working on your classic sets. There's something so special and so simple. I mean, it's in the name, it's classic.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hi, Lash friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Untamed Podcast. As you may or may not know, Cheryl recently gave birth to a beautiful, healthy baby, and she is enjoying every moment of being a mother. If you're interested in following her journey as a mother, check her out on Instagram at a good enough human. So unfortunately, she will not be with us today, but for good reason. But today, I brought on Mac. Hey, Mac.
Hi, Lash friends.
So, Mac, for those of our listeners who don't know much about you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
For sure. So, what is my backstory? Oh, my goodness. So, I am UA's marketing coordinator. So, you can find me on the gram. I am always the one responding to your DMs, either me or Anne-Marie, obviously. I'm hyping you up. And that's always what I'm here for. I've been lashing for 3.5 years now? Yeah, I guess 3.5 years. I started when I was really young. I was in grade 11 in high school. So that's kind of my background.
Amazing. I would love to see it. And if you guys aren't aware, Mac really is all over our Instagram page. So if you listen to our podcast but haven't checked out the page, you definitely should. She shares so much good information. She writes a lot of our blogs too. She's just a wealth of information and knowledge. And today, I'm going to have her share her best classic lash extension set tips with us. So we're going to talk about how to improve your classic sets. And some of these tips do apply to volume as well. But I really want to just ask you a bunch of questions that we just keep receiving over and over and over in the DMs. Is that okay with you today, Mac?
Absolutely. I'm all about classics. I think that classics were something where I finally found my confidence in lashing was when I got that perfect first classic set. I had a new thirst to get those clean sets over and over again and get better at volume too. I think that classics are such a great opportunity to show off your clean lashing techniques. So I'm really excited to share some tips today.
You know, I think that a classic lash application is pretty difficult, I have to say, because you could see every little detail and flaw. You can't hide behind anything else. I feel like it's just obvious, not just from a stylist's point of view, but a client's as well. And of course, if you have a volume fan, it's really chunky at the base. That could be obvious, but classic, oh man, I am just always in awe of artists like yourself who are just so good at these sets. So I'm going to learn a few things today too, I'm sure, along the way. So let's get into it. Number one that I hear a lot about classic sets is that they don't look very full. And I feel like it's a bit of a misconception because they can look full. So what are your top tips for making a classic lash set look fuller?
They definitely can. I think that this is a thought that every artist has had at some point. Be like, oh my gosh, my classics aren't looking full enough. And yeah, natural lashes will have a big effect on that. But you can make them look full even on a little bit of a sparser lash line. So my number one tip, of course, is always aiming for 100% coverage. Now, obviously we have those baby lashes that you might not want to put a 0.15 on. So what I like to do is go for either a 0.07 or even a 0.10 sometimes, just to help with that density of your classic sets. So by doing this, you're going to be able to get that 100% coverage while still making sure those baby lashes can grow out and stay healthy, and automatically your classic sets will look so much more full.
So hold on. I just want to make sure we're understanding this right.
Yeah.
Because naturally we think we want a fuller set. It needs to be thicker. And so we're thinking about the thickness of the extension and not always the density of our set. So can you explain why it's actually better to use a 0.10 extension or a 0.07 instead of just going in with 0.15 or 0.18 all throughout the entire lash line?
Exactly. So even if you look at natural lashes, sometimes you'll find that some of them are thinner and some of them are thicker. Having a little bit of that variation, first of all, helps create more shadow, which is always great to help the density of your set. And also, when you lash those baby lashes, even though you're not using a really thick extension, it's going to help add to that density still and still allow those natural lashes to properly grow out and stay healthy.
I like that. Now, are there any of those baby lashes that you would never ever apply to? Like, what is your rule of thumb? Because I know in a lot of beginner lash courses, we're taught don't apply to anything in that baby lash stage because it can be a little too heavy. And I know that that's not true, but can you explain a little more on your like rule? Like, is there a millimeter? Like, it needs to be longer than 3 millimeters, needs to be like a certain density. Like, how do you judge that?
I think definitely it's a tricky one because it's when you're looking at it, you kind of know a little bit more. But definitely, I want it to be strong enough that it can support a lash of the same length that I'm using, or even just slightly shorter for the rest of my set. I wouldn't go, if it's too much shorter than that, I wouldn't want to apply to it. And also, if it's super, super thin, like I still want a certain level of health as long as it's a healthy baby lash. If it's super, super tiny and it's just trying to start to grow out, I am not going to apply on that.
No, absolutely not. I think that's like so important. Since those hairs are so fine and thin, applying something really thin as well is best because otherwise it can be a little bit irritating or pokey to the client. And we definitely don't want that. And one thing that's really amazing to me is even just going through and adding, let's say, 10 or 15 of these tiny 0.07 extensions, maybe they're only measuring 7 millimeters, it actually does make the set fuller. And can you explain, like, why is that? That even applying something throughout that's really short and thin makes a fuller look?
Exactly. Actually, when you're using shorter lengths, especially with classics, you get that density way faster.
So that actually ties into like styling. So styling is really important when it comes to classic lash sets too, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. When you're choosing your lengths, we don't want you to be afraid of short lashes. I love going down in length just to make those classic extensions appear more full, even if that's adding ones in between or if it's the entire set being shorter. This is because with classic extensions, the more space there is between the tips of the lashes, the more you're going to notice that space and they're going to look more sparse. This is also where you might see some sets and notice a bit of a spidery effect. That's where that can come in. When you go down in length, you avoid more of that effect and get those straighter pointing lashes.
So with classics, I find that if something's out of position, it's like really obvious. And sometimes it's hard because like, I don't know, how can I say this? How do you get all those extensions and you apply them to look so aligned and straight? What is your secret for this?
It is all about that direction. I've totally been there with the classics just crossing every which way, and it's very difficult to get that perfect placement. But the trick is to always make sure you're applying straight rather than following the direction of those natural lashes, because those natural lashes can be curving any which way, and it might be tempting to apply in that direction, but you want to make sure that you're applying straight to the eye or to the lash line.
That makes sense. Now, can you actually, with classics, sometimes I would find in the beginning that I was trying to fight clients' lashes who naturally just all grew kind of outwards. And I was trying to fight them and just apply straight to everything. But then, tell me if this is crazy, but then I started actually just following the pattern of their growth and the fact that they all grew out. So, like, they were still all very consistent, but they were all just kind of like leaning out a little bit. Do you think that can still be like a really pretty look? And if it is still really pretty, do you think that it's still okay for retention?
That could be absolutely gorgeous and help your retention in some ways, as long as you're making sure that you're using enough adhesive and you're making sure that you're getting enough attachment in those lashes.
I like it. So, what are some of the main things that make a set really messy? I know you said that the direction is super important, but I also find that one thing is like diameter. So if we're using a diameter that is way too thick for the natural lash to really support well, I find that there can be some stickies there or they just become kind of top heavy and they're just like, whoop, like they just kind of fall over to the side no matter how well attached they are. So do you have tips on that? And I'm sure you're going to tell us that it's like length and just checking your bases, but I want to know what you have on that. And then also anything else that can keep our sets from looking messy.
Definitely your direction can really suffer when you're using something that is too heavy for the natural lash you're placing it on. That's where you start getting that leaning, that even though your technique you might have applied straight, it's just too heavy that it's going to lean no matter what and start crisscrossing. So definitely making sure that you're picking a diameter that's appropriate for the natural lashes. I even like to use 0.12s in a lot of my sets instead of 0.15s. I just think that it's so much easier to get a super clean and straight set, and they still look really full, even though we're so afraid sometimes of using a thinner diameter. It can make your set actually appear more full, and sometimes like it has been a total game changer to use 0.12s. I was always so afraid of them until I actually took the plunge, tried them out, and once I did, I was like, wow, where have these been all my life?
I did a lot of classic sets with like 0.10 and even 0.07 MAC. I had this one client who wanted them to look like her natural lashes. So we would do kind of like a C curl, and we would do a lot of 0.07s. And I remember once I did maybe 120 extensions per eye of single 0.07s, and it was too much for her. So wow. I think that, you know, if you're placing them well and you're adding a lot of them, they do look really full depending on the client's eye shape, you know, the growth pattern of their natural lashes, all those different factors.
Exactly. I have to see that set. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I'll definitely share it with you.
Yay.
It's so interesting because she's a lawyer for Exxon. So she was always worried about just looking too done up because she's in a very male dominated field. And she was like, you know, and so it was interesting because she just never wanted something she put on her to like distract away from the point she was trying to make.
I love that.
And that just is like a whole different podcast topic of like society and how yeah. we should be able to wear crazy lashes if we want. And I don't mean crazy in a bad way, but like crazy long lashes. I can wear like a rainbow of lash colors and have my hair bright pink and it shouldn't be a problem. But for her, she always wanted to almost downplay who she was appearance wise to try to fit in to this room. That's a whole side note, but I felt the need to share. It's cool too.
I love that. I love the backstory of that. It really is important to be speaking on these things when it is so prevalent in our daily lives, even though we might not even notice it sometimes. Like you easily, she's just say, oh, it's for my work and I want to appear professional and not distract, blah, blah, blah. But to look deeper into that and really think about what that means for our world and for your client, first of all, but also as a broader topic.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that because that's a really good one that we can dig into. And I'm sure many of you listening hear this and you've had clients who maybe they don't come back to you or they say, oh, you know, the extensions were just too much for me. And sometimes you really do need to scale that design back, is my point too. And really talk to the client, understand what they're wanting and setting those expectations. One thing that I like to do in my portfolio is just say that I can create a variety of looks. And of course, I had things that I specialized in and I really liked. But if you look through the portfolio, it's not always the same set on everyone. You could see this client who had, you know, the classic 0.07 all the way up to someone who wore something that's kind of like, I call baby mega volume because I'm no mega volume expert, but kind of like a mega volume look. And just the different shapes, the different densities, it's really a lot of fun to play with. And I think that classic has like a lot of potential. And Mac, do you actually, side note to this, side note on my side note on my side note, do you think that you can apply classic lashes in a volume set?
Oh, if you're, I think my favorite way to apply classic lashes in a volume set is really using layering to your advantage in that. But for sure, I mean, I love seeing all these creative sets and I think there's new, even lash trends coming out every day. And I love to see, I think a great opportunity for trying out new things is to don't be afraid to take a model. Take that model, try something new. If you're nervous about not having a super wide skill set of different types of lashes, give yourself an opportunity to practice where you might not feel as pressured and it's a set that's done for you. That's because you want to do it. And I think that also helps in embrace your own creativity and just really help you appreciate what you do and make you really proud of your work.
Oh, I like this. I like it a lot.
I think, I mean, even that first classic set that really changed my whole perspective and gave me a new thirst for lashing was a model set. I was like, you know what?
Really?
I just wanted, and I picked three things. I said, I want to focus on distance today, direction, and layering. Those are my three things that I wanted to focus on in that set. And I thought about those. Every single lash I applied, I thought about that every single time. And this set took me like 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
For a classic. Just absolutely a crazy amount of time. Yeah. But I was so, so happy with it. And it really, I was like, you know what? I can keep thinking about these things. And I think that was another game changer for me, was using that 3-point rule of nothing more than that. That's what I'm focused on. Every time I apply lash, I'm thinking about that and making sure that I'm hitting those three. And it completely changed my set. I think it's so easy to mindlessly lash, especially when it's something so repetitive. Like you're doing the same movement over and over and over again all day long. It's so easy to not think about what you're doing because it just comes so naturally to you. But when you're actually focused on a specific thing, you really do improve really fast. You might even surprise yourself with the amount of skill.
That is so true.
Yeah, like, that you're suddenly pulling out because you're actually conscious of what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, I might surprise myself at like, oh, my bases are not as even as I thought. Like really once you focus in, or, you know, oh wait, that fan's a little bit wonky. Oh yeah, focusing in is really important. We really get in that autopilot, and I like the challenge of trying to get everything perfect, kind of like a drill to just make sure our technique is still on point. Because if our technique isn't on point, we can't have good retention. And this is something that I've seen quite a bit in our industry, is that people say classic lash extensions have worse retention than a volume set. And sometimes I think it's just the client's perspective, because if you have a set of volume on and you're having maybe 600 extensions on that eye versus maybe the 150, if it's a classic set, sure, it's going to look fuller as they come out. But my question is, do you think that classic lashes actually do have worse retention?
I think that they definitely can, but when you know how to work with them properly, they don't have to at all. You can get the same 3-week retention that you are striving for with in your volume sets with your classic sets, and that does not have to change with what extension you're applying. I think there's definitely a lot to take into account there, though. Of course, always, no matter what set you're doing, you want to make sure your humidity and temperature are in your adhesives, an ideal environment. For our adhesives, what is it, Emery? Do you remember our adhesive ideal environment?
Yes.
Go for it. Go
I was like, oh, I'm being quizzed. I thought I was like so confident in this podcast, guys. I was like, I'm going to ask Mac all these questions. And then she just turned it around and asked me one.
I have to.
You have to. So for the Untamed Artistry adhesives, you want your temperature to be within 20 to 23 degrees Celsius and 68 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit, and your humidity range around 35% to 55%. I really find for me that I like to lash at that 50% humidity.
I also love to lash in a very similar humidity range, and just taking the time to do that quick check could literally save your retention game by ensuring your environment isn't too hot or humid where your adhesive is curing too quickly. Another thing when your adhesive is curing too quickly is you have to make sure you're using enough adhesive, especially with classics. I think it's so easy to just not use enough adhesive. And with too little adhesive, you might notice those classic extensions just popping right off, which is, of course, all of our worst nightmares. So my best tip would be to use a scooping motion, kind of like a spoon, to get the right of adhesive, a right amount of adhesive every time.
I like this. So when it comes to that scooping motion, how much of the classic extension are you coating? And, you know, because I think that we've all seen sets that are so goopy, so much adhesive, that we just want to back up off of how much adhesive we're using. And many of us overcorrect it by not using enough. So I think it's like being mindful of how much of the extension is coated too.
Totally. That does lead us into attachment too. I like to dip as much as I'm going to be attaching on the natural lash. Then that way you don't have adhesive running all the way up your lash. Attachment is one of those keys to unlocking your full retention potential. So for those classics, I like to aim for 2 to 4 millimeters of seamless attachment to the natural lash. I don't want to see those lifted bases. Be really, really mindful of it. It can help to apply from the side or even from the bottom so you can see a little bit better than when you're placing from the top. I know sometimes it's tricky when you're placing from the top to always have to turn it to the side and check. So that is a tip. I like to apply from the side usually to really be able to see what I'm doing and make sure I'm lining it up parallel to that natural lash. There are no lifted bases. There's enough adhesive. It's really getting that magnetic connection to the natural lash.
So with all of these tips that you just gave so far, can you troubleshoot a question that I get sometimes?
Okay.
All right. The question is, like, the stylist is going to brush through the lashes and they can't brush through without them kind of getting snagged. Like, they can feel that they're kind of almost like stuck, or they're like, oh, I can only brush through it at the tips. And they tell their client not to brush from base to tip. What's going wrong in that situation and how can you fix it?
When it comes to the situation, I would probably boil it down to one of two things. The first one could be stickies, especially when you are coating too much of the extension. They can easily start sticking together if you're not waiting enough when you're waiting for enough time when you're isolating. You want to make sure that's fully dry, and also going through your set at the end and checking for stickies. I know it takes some extra time, but taking that time really does make all the difference. To go through every single lash, I know it can be annoying, but your client will finally be able to brush through their lashes and you won't have this issue. Another one could be lifted bases. Sometimes when you're using the right amount of adhesive, but you have those lifted bases, they still want to hold on to the lash, but they get really, really uncomfortable because every time they brush, they're going to snag on that lifted base. So that's something you really want to watch out for when it comes to not only your retention, but also your client comfort.
I like this. So if we're brushing through, we just know that if we're feeling like we can't just brush through seamlessly, that something could be sticking loose. We need to go in and like check our work, make sure it's good to go, nice and seamless.
Never be afraid to check your work.
Yes, I think it's essential too. Otherwise, like, damage can happen to these natural lashes so fast if we're not diligent in checking through for that sticking. If, like, you know, all of a sudden clients have like little nubs for natural lashes because they just keep getting pulled out from too much sticking. So it's never a good thing. I actually have one more question for you, if you don't mind. Okay. It's a pricing question. So I think there is also another misconception in the industry that classic sets should be cheaper than volume. And I was guilty of this too, being in the lash industry for so long, where when volume came out, it was like an upsell. It's like, it's a new skill, it's more product, you know, all these reasons to charge more for it. But what I realized is that if you broke it down by hour, I was actually charging the same for a classic set versus volume. It's just volume took me a lot longer. So do you think that classic sets should be cheaper than volume sets? Or do you think it should be like even across the board, no matter what design you're doing?
That's a great question. Honestly, I was guilty of the same thing. I had my classic sets way cheaper until I realized, hey, like, these classic sets are taking me a long time as well. And really, it is the same technique. You're just taking out fanning out of the mix. So it's something that I think that if you want to make your classic sets cheaper, they should not be wildly cheaper than your volume sets, because you still are really utilizing all of those techniques and even focusing on them more than you might in some of your volume sets, because every single lash, like we said, if there's one out of place, you're going to see it. So you have to be really, really careful when you're doing your classic sets to get that clean look that you want. So I would say, honestly, pricing your classics is a tricky thing to do, because I know a lot of people do make their classics a lot more inexpensive, but think about the amount of time you're putting in, thinking about the amount of effort you're putting in. Those classic sets should not be a wild price difference from your volume sets, personally, in my opinion.
Right. I've heard some really strong educators in the industry say that if they knew then what they know now, they may have always stuck with classic, because they would have known to charge appropriately for it. And because of their speed with that, you know, it just would have been a better decision for their business. So anyone listening, I do challenge you to write down all the services you offer, the price, how long it takes you, and see how much each service is being charged per hour. That makes sense. Because what you don't want to have happen, that I think is something that almost anyone would advise you, is you don't want your classic set to be maybe $25 an hour and then your volume is $80. This is a huge discrepancy on how much you're making an hour. So really trying to price at just like a normal amount that you need to make for your business based off of what you want to take home, your expenses, all those different things, but having it consistent. So let's say you get really sufficient at classic and your classics take you 75 minutes for a refill, but your volume is still taking you like maybe 2 hours. I don't know, some volume sets and refills take a long time. The hourly breakdown's still the same, but classic is cheaper on the menu in the client's perspective because it takes you less time. Does that make sense?
Exactly. As you do have to really think about your hourly as a lash artist. I mean, with all of your services, especially when you're putting in all of those techniques that you've learned, really, you want to be making the same hourly no matter how many hours a set is taking you. I think that it's so easy to just kind of throw prices out there to say like, oh, this makes sense, you know, that it should be, let's just say $30 more, $100 more, like whatever it is. But taking into account that hourly is a complete game changer, because when you actually break that down, you can realize that you are making nothing on your classics compared to your volumes, which you definitely don't want. What if you suddenly get a bunch of classic clients and you don't have your volume clients anymore? That's where you're suddenly going to be like, well, why am I not making enough money when I'm working basically the same amount?
Right. And classic doesn't need to be like an underplayed technique. It is something that is amazing to offer and you can make good money doing. So I think that that's what happens, is all of a sudden that discrepancy happens. It's not being identified as a pricing discrepancy. And then it's like, oh no, I know I make more money here, so I'm just going to knock off this service from my menu. And it's like, oh, you could if you really do enjoy doing volume instead. But I do think that there is a lot of room for those classic clients. You have to consider, is it the right choice for you to not take them? Or is it better for you to just figure out the right hourly rate and charge appropriately?
Definitely. There's a lot of value in classic sets. And if you enjoy doing them and you want to work on them and really improve your artistry, go for it. You should never be ashamed to be offering a killer classic set, or even to be actively working on your classic sets. There's something so special and so simple. I mean, it's in the name. It's classic.
I love that. Mac, you are truly our hype girl. We always love to see it. Thank you for making us all feel so good.
Oh,
I don't even lash too often anymore. And I'm like, oh man, I'm so ready to go do a classic set now.
I know. Please do one. I mean, we all know I'll be there to hype you up. And for anyone who is listening and wants to go and take a tip and use it in your next classic set, I want to see a photo. Tag us on the gram and I will be there to hype you up. As always, it makes me so excited to see y'all enjoying AR tips, BR products, and C, creating amazing sets and just absolutely improving your artistry, improving your business. Like, it makes us so excited. And we often talk about it as a team too, to just say, oh my gosh, look at our set. Look how cute it is. Oh my God, we love it.
So that is so much of our meetings is crushing on everyone.
We always are.
Well, Mac, thank you so much for jumping on and doing this podcast with me today. I know you are so busy with everything else that you have going, but I really appreciate it. To leave our audience today, can you give us your number one tip for those who are feeling discouraged in their application?
All right. Well, first of all, practice is key when it comes to classics. You unfortunately need to spend a lot of time to really get good at your craft. And that's okay. And that's something to be proud of, that you've put in all that time and effort and that you're improving day by day. I think noticing those really small improvements, even if it's just, wow, the distance from the lash line looks a lot better today, or there's more that look even compared to last set. I think it's constantly focusing on something to improve on each time makes all the difference, even if it's just one thing, even if the whole three things is too overwhelming. When you do a set, or even for a period of time, could be really helpful to say, okay, this month, I really want to focus on my direction until I really master it or I'm seeing improvements. And then you can add another thing. I think that really putting that focus into each detail of your craft really makes all the difference when it comes to wanting to improve and helping have quality practice time, rather than just mindlessly lashing. Really, when you're just mindlessly lashing, you're probably not going to improve all that much. When you really are thinking about what you're doing and you're mindful of every little movement you're making and how that's affecting your set, the change is just unbelievable. And it's not even a time frame thing. It's the amount of mindfulness you're putting into each set is what really changes things. So don't be afraid to keep practicing. We know classics are so difficult, but trust me, you got this. I want every discouraged lash artist to know that you can have an amazing classic set. It's just being a little bit more mindful about all of your small little movements.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com.
Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.